I'm not sure how to intro this talk, so I'm just going to dig right into it. You know what to say for the last talk in this campus? And I am a blubbering mess, really, inside, doing quite well, controlling myself. I pray I do throughout the message. But if you got your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And we're going to look at verses 11, and we're going to read down to verse 19. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. If you're following along with us on the app, we got the scripture for you right there. We got them for you on the screen. As we always say, we got you covered here with God's word. It says this, I love this portion and passage of scripture right here. It says, now on him being Jesus, everybody say Jesus. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Let's pray. God, you are so good. And Lord, I love your word. We love reading your word. And Lord, as much fun as we love reading your word, God, we love living your word. And God, I pray that here today, we would have a passion to live your word out here in our lives. Guide me, I pray, Lord, every word I speak, that I would be a complete echo of what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This past week, and man, it's been tough finding the content for this message here today. So many thoughts running through my mind. And I was on the phone with a fellow church planner, and we just started talking. And that conversation lasted almost an hour. And that's kind of where I got this talk, out of this conversation. And we just started talking about God's word and where we're at and seasons of life, and it was really powerful. And so if I could put a title to this talk, it would be this: I just want to come back and say thank you. I just want to come back and say thank you. Let's look back at this scripture that we just read, because I love a good breakdown of scripture, because there's so much you can find inside of it. I mean, it kicks off, right, that Jesus is traveling between the borders of Samaria and Galilee. He's right here, Israel, Gentileville. I mean, he's right along this path, and he's heading somewhere, and he stops at a village. We don't know if the village is in the Samaritan side, or we don't know if the village is in the Galilee side, but nonetheless, we see that he stops in this on his way, and he runs into what Scripture says are 10 lepers, 10 people that have leprosy, and they're together. They're like the leper gang. They are just rolling together, and they run up on Jesus. And it says here in verse 12 that they stand at a distance, right? I don't know, you know, we've talked about that here. We've kind of dug in to the law of the land and what they did back then. If you had leprosy, remember, leprosy law wasn't a mean law. You had to stand at a distance from people. And if you ever approached a place or a person, you had to scream at the top of your lungs, leper, leprosy. Remember, we've shared that a lot. It wasn't a mean law. It wasn't a law to discriminate them, but it was just, they didn't want this very contagious disease of filth being spread. And so you can imagine here just what these guys are feeling. In verse 13, you kind of hear in their tone how jazzed they are to see Jesus, because they're like, "Hey, Jesus, Master, woo, have pity on us," right? It says, I mean, they are screaming this verse. It says that they are screaming this. They are wanting healing right here from the one that they know and have heard gives healing out to people. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Look at the first part of verse 14. He says this. This is Jesus' response. Can you go back to that, Crystal? This is Jesus' response right here. Right there, second line. When he saw them, he said this, "Go show yourselves to the priests." What was it like for them when they heard that? Like, they were probably like, "You got to be kidding me, right? Like, you got to be Jesus. We've done that already. I mean, we've tried every possible avenue to get help. I mean, if the priests could help us, they'd have helped us. If the priests could heal us, they'd have healed us already. We wouldn't be here begging you." I mean, can you imagine getting that extremely discouraging piece of instruction? Like, can you imagine that? Like, this is the man that they're looking at who is known for the impossible. This is the man, the one they're looking at, who is known to do wonders right in front of their eyes. And all they know is that I just need to get his attention. Because if I can get his attention, you know, like we heard about the blind guys. I mean, we've heard what Jesus has done. If you can just get his attention, there's so many people around. If I can just get him to look at us, then look at the blind guy. "Hey, Jesus, we're blind. What up? We can see." Like, they got his attention. Now they can get what they want. Man, if we can just get in his sight, if we can just get him to look at us, then we'll get what we've always dreamed of: healing, normalcy. We can blend into society again. We can walk into a marketplace like everybody else. I can hug someone. I can shake someone's hand. People won't run from us. We are going to be healed. And they get his attention. And look at what he said. "Go show yourselves to the priest." What is crazy is the next part of the verse. Right? Nope, go back. And as they went, I want to stop right there before we go anywhere. And as they went, wow. Like, how did they went? Right? I know it doesn't make lingual sense, but how did they went? Did they went discouraged? Did they went kind of defeated and rejected? I mean, what was it like? Was it just, we're getting rejected like everybody else has rejected us? I mean, come on. I'm certain that they're not celebrated everywhere that they go. I'm certain that they're told to go whenever they're somewhere else. I'm certain they, so how did they went? Or could it be, maybe with all that they knew about Jesus and who he was and what he was capable of? I mean, because everybody he's run into contact with, he's cared about. And you don't ever hear a report of him punching a blind guy, right? You don't hear that. You hear that he cares for every person that he runs into contact with. Could it be, with all that they knew about Jesus and who he was and what he was capable of, that maybe they went trusting? Trusting that he had their well-being in the scope of his intentions. Here's my question. Have you ever felt like you were heading in a direction that God told you to go, and it didn't make a lick of sense to your natural mind? I have a feeling these guys know what that means. Right? Go show yourselves to the priests who, in their experience and in their knowledge, has not one ounce of ability to help them with what it is that they're experiencing. Matter of fact, the one that they know who has not only an ounce but is dripping with the ability to help them is the one now who's sending them in a different direction. Have you ever felt like that before? I love verse 14, the end part. It says that they go, right? As they went, go back. Okay. As they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. Like they go. They listen to him. And they find themselves being healed. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But listen, they go. And as they go, they are healed. Like, let's insert a praise break right here at this point, because I think that's absolutely incredible. Right there, as they go, they are healed. That's amazing stuff. And then back to the first part of verse 15, it says that right here, as they go, as they went, they were cleansed. And what's the next word? One. How many? One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back and praised God in a loud voice. Think about that story. It's so interesting. I mean, they were healed. Meaning, what does that mean for them? No more leprosy. That's what that means. That's incredible right there. No more leprosy. Life for them has forever changed. What a future that is in front of them, right? I mean, who wouldn't go running to a future and toward a future like that? I mean, whoa, dude, let's go to a supermarket and let's blend in. Let's shop like everybody else. Let's go to public places. Let's go hug people. Let's go shake people's hands. Let's go and interject. Let's go and blend into society. But in what was something where everybody was running toward what lies ahead, Bible says that one of them stopped for a second and realized the need to go back and just say two words. Thank you. What a powerful point. And here's the parallel to us today. In our church, where the focus is so much on our future, right? I mean, we got a building, y'all. We have a building where the focus is what is in front of us, where the focus is in what lies ahead, which is all good, friends. It's all gravy. It's amazing what is in front of us. We have an awesome future in front of us, Journey Church. We have a campus to call our own. We have so many memories that are going to be made from that place that have yet to be made from that place. On that property, the people that are going to accept Jesus Christ, the people that are going to join our church family, the kids that are going to come in and learn about Christ in their lives and their futures, and their families are going to be changed. I mean, the Dream Center Recovery Home is going to start on that place, the outreach that's going to come from that place, the love that's going to stem from the people that go to that place, the care, the so much. It's in front of us. I just feel with all that's in front of us, with all that God has done, I just feel the need to stop for a second before we go any further and just come back right here and just say two words. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And there's reasons that I'm saying thank you, and oh my goodness, there's 1,000, but if I could pick three to communicate to you the reasons I'm saying thank you to God right now, I would say thank you, God, number one, for a call to plant this church. Thank you, God, for a call to plant this church. Do you know how scary it was? And frankly, still sort of is to be a pastor. Like, I read scriptures like Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 when I was in Bible college, right, which say, this is what it says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. And I remember reading that, and the professor was like, you better take care of the church that Christ purchased with his own blood. And I'm sitting in the seats like, can I do something else with my life? Like, can I go volunteer? I'll volunteer in a church. You know, I just want to do something else. I'll just serve. I just want a normal job. But, man, I stand here now, and I'm just so thankful for a call to plant. I mean, I looked at Acts 20, 28, and I'm like, yeah, I'd like to go do something else, but he's called my wife and I to be pastors. But even with that, I didn't think I was ever cut out to be the farming type of pastor. What I mean by that is to plant something in the ground and be there from its beginning. I figured to be more of a, this is what I figured in Bible college, I figured to be more of a next step type of pastor. Like, not the planting pastor, but a next step, like for an already existing church that maybe they lost their pastor, or maybe, you know, that they need a pastor. And I figured that I was the type that could arrive somewhere that has everything already provided, like a building and all that type of stuff, and a congregation that's already there, and then help take that congregation to the next level. Like, that's what I thought. Before I even knew Journey Church could or would exist. I mean, before we even came here, I mean, we had offers to pastor other churches, some great churches in great climates, you know? And it's just like, but none of them felt right. There was a church in Universal City, Texas, right outside of San Antonio, great church, great congregation, and we got an offer there, and it was just, everything looked great, but nothing felt right. Nothing felt right, and we had no idea why. I can't be a church planner. I worked for a church planner. I watched church planners. I've talked with and sat with many church planners. I know the struggles they experience. And one Sunday night in September of 2008, in a church worship service, Tim, in a church worship service, wasn't during the sermon, God spoke to me, and in my mind's eye, I saw a shovel, and God said, I want you to go plant something in the ground in that community. And I knew what that community meant because I saw a map of this area, and outside of that map shot streams of fire, and it burned the whole map up. And he says, and I want you to go and plant something that's never been in that community before. And I'm going to call you to be a part of that fire. And we became church planters in that moment. That was September 2008, 9 months from that moment, we planted this church with no financial backing, with no organization backing us. We were literally diving off of the edge of a cliff in faith, not just for this church, but for our family. I had no way to provide for myself, my wife, my kids. No way to provide for our church. All we had was a word. Anybody relate to that? Sometimes that's all you got is a word. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes that's all you got. I had people asking me, show me the money. And I said, I can't show you any money, but I can show you a word. Somebody tell me, show me how it's going to get. No, I can't. All I can show you is a word. Where's the people? I don't know. All I can show you is a word. And to watch him take it from seed in the ground to the young stalk that it is today. It has been a blessing beyond description. I'm so thankful for the call to plant a church, to be part of an organism like Journey Church. This place, and by this place I mean this family, has changed my life. Journey Church, you have changed my life. He, through this church, has taught my wife and I. She and I were having a conversation this past week, and I'm like, what has Journey Church taught us? And these are the things we wrote down. We have learned to love people no matter who they are. You may not think that's deep, but that's not taught in normal church. Like, it's taught, but it's not shown. To love people no matter who they are. And there have been some no matter who they are that have come in here. I'm one of them. I mean, we're taught to love people, but it's the no matter part. Right, that we're not taught, because in many places it does matter who you are. And that's sad. And I love that we have been an example. Pastors in this community have talked to me, and I've received permission from three of them, none of the rest, but, you know, to share this. Like, we have influenced their churches, other churches in this community's ability to accept people, no matter who they are. And I think that's an amazing thing right there. We had somebody leave this church and try to go to another church, and the church didn't want them. And they told us, they said, well, I'm coming back because nobody else wants us, you know? I'm just like, yeah, well, welcome back. God's taught me that he can use anybody to do anything. Do you realize that we have staff that have no Bible college experience? Our youth pastor hasn't been to Bible college. Yet, Journey Youth sits as one of the largest youth groups in the community. Corey and Amy Kimbrell went to go plant a church. And I mean, that's amazing. Called Remedy Church. God's taught us that love wins. Like, he's taught us that. Like, I've always heard it, but he taught us. God's taught us with patience and perseverance, you can accomplish anything. Missy specifically said what this place has taught her. She says, when God gives you a vision for something, he gives you what you need to accomplish it when you step out in obedience. She said, think about it, Jesse. We didn't have anything when we came, but when we stepped out, he gave us the setup teams. Right, Ron? I mean, we had the teams to set up. He gave us the children's teams. He gave us the tech team. He gave us the first impressions teams. Like, if you ever been back in Bonfils, people baked cookies for you before you even came in. When we were small enough to do so. Now we're a little bigger and we don't get sued. You know, so, cookie made me sick. You know, just one of those types of things. Things we've been told by our insurance we can't do anymore. But which kind of leads me to my second part. And inside of planning this church, I just want to say thank you for strange instruction. And that might be a weird way to word it, but go show yourselves to the priests. Right? That's a strange instruction. What sense is there in that instruction? What logic is there in that instruction? When you're asking him to heal you, go show yourselves to the priest. Who? People that did not have the ability to heal you is who you're headed to. I've heard a lot of strange instructions from God on the direction of this church. But another thing God has shown me through this place is that if I try to attempt, and I want you to hear me now because this is good wisdom for your life. If I try to attempt to corner his will for my life into a place of reason where it makes sense to me, I will without fail always miss the will of God for my life. Like when we got here, like when we landed in Troy, we didn't know where we were going to go. And I drove around the city, and God said, Bonfils Auditorium. So I call Bonfils Auditorium. I'm still living in Ohio. I'm just here visiting, figuring out where I'm going to go. And I call Bonfils Auditorium, the school district, and they said, no, we don't give the building to church use anymore. We've been burned by churches in the past. It is now our policy to no longer do that. But God told me to do it. Well, that's great. But again, we no longer do this to churches. And so I go back home, and God says to me, call Bonfils Audit. Go to Bonfils. Go to the school district. What? They said no. This isn't a great way to kick off a relationship than to say, we don't like what you said last time. So now, I wasn't even there. I was like, God, I'm not there. The only people that are there, my mom and dad. He said, send your mom. Oh, that's great. If I can't do it myself, I'm going to send my mommy to do the work for me. Amen. And so she comes in. And she talks to the superintendent over facilities. And he says, basically, we've said no. And she said, well, we need to plant this church. My son wants to plant this church. And he said, well, who's your son? My son is Jesse Kiros. Now, let me tell you something. I didn't always grow up in church. And the guy's name was Charlie Branham. Charlie Branham, when I went to that school, was a vice principal. And before I knew Jesus, I was in an assembly, standing on chairs, under the influence. And he pulled me down, and I didn't know who it was. And all I did was punch the face of whoever was pulling me down. And I punched Charlie Branham right in the face as a 15-year-old kid. And so that name has rung a bell in his mind. And my mom says, who wants to plant a church here? And she said, Jesse Kiros. And he said, Jesse Kiros wants to plant a church here. He hadn't heard about my Damascus Road experience. And he pushed himself back from the chair, is what my mother was telling me on the phone. And said, I'm not only going to make sure that you have that auditorium, but I'm going to give it to you at a discounted rate. And I thought that was so amazing right there. Sometimes you need to send a woman in to do the job a man can. Amen. God said to start raising money for a campus when there was no campus. What trust you guys have in this church to take up what really we call a future facility offering, right? It's one of those offerings, it's like, God, we don't know what it looks like, but we want to be ready. And what we raised ended up being the down payment and the upfront renovation cost to be able to move in to where we're going. What timing? A dream center vision. Are you kidding me? Church planning's tough enough. And we're going there to essentially give birth to a dream center. Because how many of you have come to me going, what about parking, right? Like, the building size is the same size as what we have here. We just got to be more creative with the space. Like, and we got to be very creative with our parking. I mean, a church our size shouldn't be going to a campus that size. And I'm just like, why, God? And God says, you go there and build that house. And when he said that house, I saw the dream center. And he says, and I'll build the other house. And I saw the church. I don't know where that is, but he said he's going to build it. And we're just being obedient. We're going to go there and we're going to plant a dream center. And God's going to bless it big, big ways. One thing I've learned is that God's strange instructions always lead to miraculous results. And lastly, number three, I just want to say thank you for always being the God of it all. And never the God of all at once. I never thought I'd be thankful for that. Meaning with God, many times we don't get, many times, if not most of the time, it's never given to you all at once. How many know in the faith life, you never get it all at once? And particularly with these 10 lepers, you get it as you go. You see, I don't believe, go back to that scripture if you would, the first part of it, Crystal. Next verse. And as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I think we see that and we think this. The 10 lepers come to Jesus. Let's say Jesus is by the stool. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. Okay. Oh, what up? And they all run. But one of them's like, hey, thank you. No, I don't believe that's how that happened at all. As they went, meaning they left. Here's how I believe that went down. That even the first steps they took, nothing's happening. They are still lepers. They are still headed on the, I mean, they are a ways down, man. They, as a matter of fact, Jesus isn't even in sight now. They're heading to the priest. Maybe they're frustrated. Maybe they're struggling with doubt. Maybe they're feeling a little rejected. Maybe they've got a bunch of those feelings all at once. Maybe they're still kind of trusting. Maybe they're still like, oh, he told us to do it. I mean, we've heard that he cares. We've heard that he heals. We've heard that he does it in weird ways. I mean, he spit in mud and put it in a guy's eyes, so maybe this is our route. Maybe they're a mile and a half down the road, and all of a sudden one of them's like, hey, whoa. Maybe they take another step. Whoa. And everybody's starting to look at themselves, and they find themselves maybe a couple of miles down the road, step by step, completely cleansed. Maybe he's way out of their sight at this point. And the rest of them are so jazzed. They're like, this is amazing. Jesus is incredible. Let's go. And they head off. And one of them just says, wait. I'm going to. And he takes that long journey back to find them, to say thank you. We've never had it all figured out at this church. We've never had everything given to us at once. Go plant a church. Okay. Oh, right? That's never been what it's been. At Journey Church, it's been obedience, frustration, doubt, confusion. But a little bit down the road, we see it happening little by little, piece by piece. And let me tell you something, Christians in this room, that's the way God works. And sometimes you don't see it right away. You don't get it all at once, but sometimes it's little by little by little by little. I was having a conversation with Steve Lummer. I want to ask Tim, if he would, to come on up. The worship team today. I'm thankful for our worship pastor. Amen. I was having a conversation with him. I think I even got the little, I put a screenshot on it because I love the picture, the what he said. He just basically says, hey, Bubba, that's what he calls me. How's the church coming along? Pictures look great. And this is what I said. I said, it's coming along. I know that may be tough to read. We actually got a high-definition screen in our new campus. Amen. So you'll actually be able to read stuff. It said it's coming along. Our first service will be February 7th. Building won't be fully done until June. We signed the contract to purchase the property in June of 2014, 20 months ago. I'm so thankful for this very patient congregation. And this is what I love what he said. Always takes longer and costs more. A long obedience in the same direction equals getting there. And I said, amen, boss. Amen. I want to say thank you for a call to plant, God. I want to say thank you for strange instruction, God. I want to say thank you for always being the God of it all, but never the God of all at once, because of what you've taught me in this journey. And lastly, I just want to say thank you, Journey Church. I mean it. You got Jen Williamsons in this church who are as bright and emotionally energetic as they come. Like, if you want to smile, like, go to her. Like, she'll make you smile, and I mean that. Like, I want to, I shouldn't do this, so it's going to be a mess. But I think about the Heppermans, like, and I think about the family that you guys are in this church. Like, you've never asked for anything in return and give of yourselves faithfully because you love them and you love these people. I love the Williamsons here. Pete, man, get to know this dude. He is an amazing dude. Pete, when he started growing in God just at the very beginning, I prayed for him. He goes, hey, man, will you pray for me? And I prayed for him, and he goes, and I said, Pete, why don't you pray for me? And he's like, all right. God, everything that he said, back at him. And he goes, right on, amen. I love that prayer. I love it. I want to say thank you to my grandfather, who was one of the first people baptized at this church. To baptize your own grandfather is such a moment of humility and honor, all wrapped into the same thing. He's always here, always at the first service. He leaves at the same time. We all live kind of on the same property, and he drives the speed limit, and I don't. So I got to beat him here, because if I've been stuck behind him before, and I'm like, I can't ride my grandfather, amen. But he's just so faithful in this church. I think of the Skaggs. I just love you. Two people that you will never see want to be on this platform to get credit for anything. People that thrive serving behind the scenes. They thrive. They love it. I see my bearded youth back there, David Guffey, who I became his youth pastor his freshman year. And I've seen that young man grow into such a servant, and to be a husband and a father. What a family the Guffeys are. Oh, I mean it for all you all. I love you all so much. It's 10:25. We gotta go. We got a whole group of people here, but I want to say thank you for who you have been. Before we go to what's in front of us, I just want to come back and say thank you. And there's a scripture, man, I write on every card, every letter that I have the opportunity to send to people, and it's Philippians 1:3, and I could never mean it more than I do when Paul said, I thank my God every time I remember you, and I do. Every time you come up in my mind's eye in prayer, and I pray for you every day, I thank my God for you, and I love you. And I love the future that we get to experience together. It's a great, bright one. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Am I missing? Am I supposed to do anything else? No, I'm not. I'm done. All of our stuff's at the new campus, so this is what I want us to do. Let's sing this chorus one time through, Tim. Another man who I'm so thankful for. For those of you who don't remember, man, this guy was drunk all the time when he came here. But we needed more people to be in the worship team. Because we just had one dude trying to do it himself. And somebody's like, well, hey, man, this guy's drunk. And I'm just like, well, I need a musician. So I just asked him, like, can he not be drunk on Sundays, you know? He's like, I think I can do that. You know, just to see him become who he is. He's not like that anymore, if those of you are new. He's not like that anymore. All right? He's one of the most amazing leaders we have in this church. He loves God so much. Let's sing that. You're a good, good father. I'm going to go to the back because I want to be able to shake your hand. Stop those people going out the door because I want to shake their hands. Amen. All right, that's Jake. All right, sorry. I'm on edge. All right. Love you guys. Amen.